This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How would you defend this power play?
I would probably put three goalies in the net and just let them try to do the job. Five of the best players to ever play the game are on that power play. You know, even as a fan of the game, it's fun to be able to be out there and watch them do the thing. It's special.
That's Brad Marchand. He's plays for Team Canada. Who's he talking about there, the power play for?
He's talking about Canada's top power play unit. Dude.
Who's on that?
It's McKinnon, Makar, Reinhart, McDavid.
It's going to be so fun. Always fun to talk to our guy, Carlo Colaiacovo, former NHLer, 14 years in the league, including with the Sabres. Now he covers the Leafs, talks about them up on First Up 1050 in Canada. What's going on, buddy? Good morning to you.
What's up, Sal? What's up, guys? I think the only thing missing on that power play is having Colaiacovo.
Yeah, no, definitely. You would be the mixing ingredient to make it tick. I'm very sure about that, Carlo. How cool is this, though?
Creating the goalie.
Yeah, for sure. Carlo, by the way, on the Wester Hotline. Hey, when this was announced, what did you think about it? What did you think about this format and what they were going to do? Just going back, not where you are now, but when it was first presented.
Yeah. Well, I'm not too sure I was that excited about the format because, you know, the hockey does display a lot of, countries and does have a lot of top players in the league playing from those countries that aren't there. I mean, the leading candidate for the Hart Trophy right now is Leon Draisaitl, and there's no Germany in there. And, you know, Tim Stützle is another guy that could represent that country, David Pastrnak in Czechia. So I wasn't too crazy about the format, but I was definitely excited about the idea of seeing the best players in the world compete against each other, because it's been a long time since we've been able to watch this, and I think hockey fans have been robbed from it. And you look at, we just talked about the Canada power play. I mean, that's what has to excite people, because in all-star games, when these guys are on the same ice, it's kind of, lackluster. These guys aren't really trying. They're going through the motions. They're trying to have fun with it. But what you really love to see is these best-on-best players actually compete against each other. And four countries or 10 countries, at least we get a chance to see it.
For people wondering, I know there's a ban on Russia playing internationally, International Hockey Federation, so that's why part of the reason why they're not playing. Also, Germany just doesn't have enough people in the NHL to be able to play,
I know.
Right?
No.
I mean, so that's why it's these four that kind of have been, put in this bucket here to play. It should be really fun. So let's just kind of poke through these rosters a little bit. Let's start with Team Canada up there. What is everybody saying about what this roster looks like? And obviously, all the firepower they have. Where are they great and where are they deficient maybe?
Well, they're star-studded. When you can start putting together a team just building through the middle of the ice, and you've got the likes of McDavid, Crosby, McKinnon, and Braden Point, all top 10 players in the league. And then you got Makar leading the back end. That's Canada's strength right now, is having to work off of those players and building through the middle. Obviously, everyone's pointing out the goaltending for Canada, and rightfully so. I mean, there's a lot of question marks. There's a lot of concerns when it comes to the goaltending, because none of them really have this type of stage experience. I mean, Aiden Hill and Jordan Binnington did win a Stanley Cup. Samuel Montembeau did help Canada win a world championship, and I think that's why those guys were chosen over the other guys. But compare them to the rest of the countries that are participating, that's where Canada's thin. But, we talked about that power play. I mean, there's the good and the bad with that power play. The good is that you're throwing incredible players on the ice, and you hope that's a difference maker for them. But I wouldn't even say the bad, but maybe the trouble is that, these players have built their name and their image playing certain roles on the power plays and certain position on the power plays. And the trick to playing in tournaments like this is being able to have guys accept different roles that they may not be comfortable in, but are being asked to have success in. So, you know, Crosby, MacKinnon, McDavid, these guys all want the puck on the power play. There's only one puck to share, and it'll be interesting to see how they at least share that type of responsibility.
What do you think about what the United States has put together?
You know, almost the same as Canada. I mean, you look at, you know, who they have in the middle of the ice with Eichel, Hughes, and Matthews, pretty special. I think, you know, their forward group is really deep. I think it really, really sucks that we're not going to be able to watch Quinn Hughes play this tournament, because he's elevated his game to such a level where some people are even, you know, labeling him as the best defenseman on the league over Cale Makar. But if he's not the best, he's right up there. And the fact that he's not in this tournament with his brother Jack, who is, you know, has a label for himself, I think that hurts, you know, when you lose a significant player like that. You know, the way American hockey has grown over the last couple of years with the job that they've done developing through the UNDTP under 18 program, through the World Juniors, and now and through, you know, professional international level, I think it's exciting. And I think that's what a lot of people are looking forward to is Canada and U.S., you know, full throttle, best on best, seeing the top players play against the top players. And I think obviously the strength when you look at the American goalie is they have three really elite ones, right? I mean, you talk about Hellebuck, who in doing what he's doing in net, he's putting himself in the conversation as a Hart Trophy guy, but that's one of their strengths that stands out over the rest of the teams. But hey, it can be as strong as it looks. You can only play one guy, so their one guy better be good. And they need Hellebuck to be that guy, but it's exciting. For me, it's exciting. It's kind of hasn't really gotten the buzz that maybe a lot of the hockey world has, you know, looked for up until this point. But now that it's here, I can definitely see and feel people buzzing about it. And we'll find out tomorrow night how excited people really are about it. But most importantly, how excited the players are about it. They're the ones that got to drive the bus on this.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that in a second, about like how this is going to be, what kind of competition we're looking at. But first, I want to ask you about Tage Thompson and being omitted from the United States team. A lot of fans upset here in Buffalo. Are they rightfully upset? You know, what did you think about Tage not being included?
Well, look, obviously he's a special player, and I think the timing of the announcement really hurt some players' chances on every team, mostly the U.S. and Canada, because I think it took Tage a little bit to find his stride. And maybe if they did wait a little longer, maybe he is on this team. The same can be said about Cole Caulfield, who's having a pretty fine season in Montreal. But, you know, the difficulty of putting together a roster like this for any country, and especially the ones that, you know, have a lot of options like Canada and the U.S., is that you're always going to have one or two guys that deserve to be there and that are not there. I mean, the same could be said about Mark Scheifele and maybe Zach Hyman in Canada. Why weren't those guys selected? If the team was selected a month ago, I would almost guarantee that those guys would be selected. But for Tage Thompson, look, the struggles that, you know, he had were a direct reflection on the struggles that the Buffalo Sabres had this season. And that's unfortunate because, you know, it probably hurt his chances to make this team. I think he's definitely a worthy candidate to make this team. And I think for him, you know, take this situation, you know, grow from it and be more determined that, you know, you want to finish strong. You want to, you know, have a good push here at the end of the season so that leading into next season, you're, you know, for at least Tage, he's a player that, you know, takes this and uses that motivation to make sure he's on that Olympic team next year.
The Sabres do have Rasmus Dahlin on Team Sweden and, of course, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Henri Jokiharju for Team Finland. Anything stand out to you about either of these squads, Sweden or Finland?
Well, I mean, look, I think for Sweden, their blue line is stacked with, you know, elite name players. Finland, I think they're a little bit top heavy and they're very, very thin on their back end. But look, in a short tournament like this, this is where the unpredictable happens, right? Where you know, you get a team that's maybe a little hungrier than another, a team like Finland that always in these tournaments shows great fight. You know, maybe they get great goaltending and they find a way to get an extra bounce or two. But, you know, for those two teams, you know, the struggles that Sweden always has as a program at these tournaments where they look really great in the round robin, but they can't seem to get over the hump in the knockout stages. Finland always seems to be a team that surprises people. So I think if they could offer that type of competitiveness, I think it would just allow this tournament to grab a little bit more shine than what it's getting right now.
Carlo Koliakovo on the Wester Hotline. How intense will this be? Like, what are we looking at? I'm super interested. I mean, this is the middle of a season for these teams. Some of these guys, they still want to, you know, they want to go and make a Stanley Cup run here. So, you know, you don't want to necessarily, you don't want going out there and trying to get injured, obviously. At the same time, you're playing for pride for the country. It means a lot in the hockey world. How intense is this going to be?
Yeah, Sal, that's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think fans are getting excited about it, but the people want to know how excited the players are, especially when, you know, all these teams finished their last games on Saturday or Sunday of this weekend, and most of them probably had a private jet wherever they were, taking off to some sunny pastures and enjoying the sun, the pool, and the beach, wherever they are. And here they are still stuck in, you know, snowy Montreal and cold Montreal and having to still play hockey. But look, I think there's real pride in any athlete and especially any player that when you put a jersey on that, you know, that represents the country you live in and the country you take pride in, that alone increases the energy and the motivation. And, you know, I think for any player that has been through those, you know, stages, you know, at some point in their career, they understand what comes with it and, you know, the adrenaline that they're going to have when the games start. Because, you know, again, when you play in tournaments like this, you're not really playing for the name on the back. You're playing for the logo on the front. And I think that's what should drive the players in this. Now, people say, well, it's a Four Nations Cup. What are they really competing for? I think winning at the end of the day is what these players really care about. And if that's something they truly care about, then we all hope that it is going to be filled with a lot of intensity.
What about the Toronto Maple Leafs on the ice as a team themselves? What's been the talk in Toronto? Is it just kind of, hey, same thing as the last few years? You're going to make the playoffs. Yeah. You have to do damage there.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Sal. I think that the talk is that, oh, wow, another great season, but you know, let's see what this team can do in April when playoffs start, right? And look, it sucks when you're, you know, a fan, part of a fan base that has seen the same, has read the same story year after year where, look, credit to the Maple Leafs, they've built a really competitive regular season team for the last couple years, giving the fans a lot to be excited about, and they bow out in almost the exact same way every year. So, I think there's a little bit of cautious optimism right now with this group because, you know, new voice, new captain, new direction with this group, that there wants to be reason for a lot more optimism and different optimism. But, you know, they also say, okay, well, we've been here, we've done that, and let's just see, you know, what moves they're going to make because it's always exciting at this time of year in Toronto. Every big player is always, you know, somehow linked to the Maple Leafs, and fans get excited about that. But look, I think in my perspective, this is the first time in a long time they've been very close to a division lead, only being 3 points behind Florida. They've been close, if not leading the league in man games lost. So for them to be in this position after having to enduring all that adversity is a positive. I think you look at their goaltending tandem. I think it's one of the best tandems in the league, and that's a lot to get excited about. Their defense feels different. They're winning games, playing a different style, which is somewhat exciting. But, Sal, you and I both know this team is going to be judged based on how they do in the playoffs. So there's a little bit of that cautious optimism here.
What do you make of what Alex Ovechkin is still doing and being so close to the record?
It's absolutely amazing. You know, especially with the year that he had last year.
Yeah.
Where the first half, I would even say the first three quarters of the season, looked like he was taking a step back and you kind of wondered, okay, is this going to take 2 years? Is it going to take 3 years for him to get to that? Will he get to that if his body continues to decline like this? But he shot out of a cannon for the last 20 games last year, got to 30 goals, and really, you know, salvaged the season that was on the verge to be really, really bad in his books. And a team like Washington that snuck into the playoffs that nobody really thought should have been there, I think has been one of the surprise teams this year for how good they looked and how dominant they've looked throughout the majority of the season, and especially with all the moves they made in the offseason. You know, sometimes that could take a little bit to allow the team to gel with new faces and new places, but they're extremely well coached. They're getting great goaltending, and I think because of that, it's rejuvenated mm-hmm. Alex Ovechkin to raise his game to another level, and I love it. Like, I'm sort of how, like, I watch the Super Bowl. You know, I'm a Bills fan, and I hate the Chiefs, but, you know, there was a small part of me cheering for the Chiefs because I wanted to witness history. I think mm-hmm. in life, when you have a chance to witness historical moments, you want to see it, right? Because you just never know when it's going to happen again. For Ovechkin, you know, even when he missed the time, you kind of wondered if that was going to set him back a little bit. And he came back stronger. And he just continued to score at the pace that he was scoring. So I think it's awesome. And you really hope this break doesn't slow him down, because I would love to see it happen this year if we could see it happen.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the Super Bowl. How'd you take all of that in? I'm glad you said that. I think you're like a lot of people here that, you know, were rooting against the Chiefs more than for the Eagles. But, you know, yeah. To watch them just dismantle them so quickly and efficiently was incredible.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, it's, again, a huge credit goes to the Eagles for a team that really used bulletin board material before this game, because everyone was saying, oh, it doesn't matter how good they are, it's the Chiefs, they're going to find a way like they always do. It's the three-peat. The NFL wants to see the three-peat. And they basically didn't give them any chance. I think that was so impressive, the level of dominance that they played with, not being satisfied with the next score. They just wanted to go get the next one. And they really took it to the Chiefs. And it's surprising to see them go up beyond this run that they were on and to lose this bad in the biggest game of the year. And maybe that's a sign of things to come for the Kansas City Chiefs. At least I hope it is, because I think I speak on behalf of a lot of people that watch football. I think there's serious fatigue when it comes to watching the Chiefs, that I think people are watching them in all these games, and it's time for fresh blood. And hopefully that's the Bills. But there's a part of me that was irked a little bit watching that game, because
yeah.
You know, how bad KC looked, I wonder how much better the Bills could have looked in that game and how much more of a fight they maybe could have put up with the Eagles. But it is what it is. I watched it, you know, for the first time in a long time with no real stress, because I didn't really care who won. I just wanted to watch a good game, and I didn't even watch that. It was kind of a boring game because it was so one-sided. But ultimately, I feel like the Chiefs, I want to say they got what they deserve, but I'm happy that they got beat the way that they did.
First up, 10:50 up in Canada, Carlo Colaiacovo, 14-year NHLer. Always love our chats. Love catching up. Hopefully we can get together again to maybe Zach Hyman's golf tournament again up this summer.
It
was
sure.
Great playing with That's you. Awesome. And, you know, it was a great cause and a great time, man.
You got it, buddy. I hope so. And then, if there's anything up in Buffalo you guys got coming on,
I love it.
And, you need me to be a part of, feel free to shoot me a message, and happy to join you anytime.
So, no doubt about that. We'll definitely do that. Stay in touch, brother. Good talking to you today.
You got it.
All Thanks. Right. Yep, Take you care. Got it. Carlo Colaiacovo right there. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour. Matt Parrino at the top of the hour on the Bills, the offseason, the Super Bowl, and a lot more on WGR.